Section 2, Trails of Tears. As you read, look for the federal government's policy toward the Indian tribes, early treaties with the five tribes, the removal of the five tribes and other tribes to Indian territory, vocabulary terms, assimilation, syllabary, Indian Removal Act, allotment, and lottery. Government policies toward the first Americans had conflicted since President Jefferson's term. One policy favored assimilation, the process of one group becoming part of another, with Euro-Americans, while the other called for relocation. In 1817, President James Monroe declared that the nation's security depended on quick settlement along the southern coast, which meant moving the Indians westward. Removal. Andrew Jackson's skills as a soldier and frontiersman went beyond the War of 1812. He led military campaigns against the Creek Indians in Georgia in 1814 and against the Seminole in Florida in 1818 for harboring fugitive slaves. By 1824, Jackson had negotiated 9 treaties that added large parcels of land to the southeastern states. In one of these, the 1820 Treaty of Doak's Stand, the Choctaw gave up their fertile southeastern lands for a large area in southern Oklahoma, southwestern Arkansas, and part of New Mexico, which was actually claimed by Mexico. Like Monroe, Jackson believed that a speedy removal of Indians from the southeastern states was best for both the Indians and the white settlers. During his 2 terms as president, from 1829 to 1837, he did just that. Jackson's urgency to relocate Indians out of the way of the white settlers overlooked the fact that some tribes had adopted a civilized lifestyle. In 1834, Indian Territory was defined as that part of the western United States that was not part of any state or territory. This included all of present-day Oklahoma and Kansas and southern Nebraska and eastern Colorado. The southern part of this area came to be home to the largest tribes, while numerous smaller Midwestern and Plains tribes were moved to the northern part. The 5 Tribes. The 5 major tribes in the southeastern United States were the Choctaw, Creek, Chickasaw, Cherokee, and Seminole. The Cherokee and the Creek lived in parts of Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and North Carolina. The Chickasaw and the Choctaw were primarily in Mississippi, and the Seminole were in Florida, which became a U.S. territory in 1821. The U.S. government's plan of educating Indians so they would conform, be similar, to the ways of the white settlers had been underway for several years. Missionaries, primarily Presbyterian, Baptist, and Methodist, had worked among the tribes for some time to educate and Christianize them. A number of racial intermarriages had also taken place over the years between Indians and Europeans, combining their cultures. Some of the southeastern tribes adopted the new lifestyle in order to preserve their tribes rather than because they felt the new culture was better than theirs. Because of their willingness to accept the new civilized ways, these tribes came to be called the 5 Civilized Tribes. While many members of the tribes adopted the new civilization, it was seldom embraced, adopted by everyone. Many traditional Indians continued with life as it had always been, and some strongly resisted the changes. The lifestyle of many in the 5 tribes changed from nomadic hunting and subsistence farming to raising livestock and operating large farms. Some with larger plantations bought black slaves and built large mansions. Tribal government became more centralized, and some tribes opened their own stores and trading posts. Some tribes accepted the missionaries and their work more than others. Teaching the Indian students to read and write in English was a totally different concept, idea, from their traditional oral form of communication, and it proved to be difficult. Sequoyah's invention of a written Cherokee syllabary, or alphabet, greatly assisted the teachers and his tribe. Sequoyah, part Cherokee, was intrigued by what he called talking leaves, or the white man's ability to communicate on paper. He spent several years developing a system that used a group of letters to represent whole syllables. By 1828, the first Cherokee newspaper, the Cherokee Phoenix, was published. Using the syllabary, Samuel Worcester translated the Bible into Cherokee. The Cherokee developed a written constitution modeled after the U.S. Constitution and established a capital at New Ekota, Georgia. The capital included a council house, Supreme Court building, a building for a printing press, and a public square. The Choctaw and Chickasaw also adopted written constitutions, as did the Creek and Seminole after they relocated to Indian Territory. The changes made by the tribes only seemed to make white settlers jealous and resentful, and whites continued to demand more and more of the Indians' land. The Creek and Seminole fought to protect their territory, but they were defeated. The Cherokee attempted to use the U.S. legal system to protect their land. Georgia, however, refused to recognize their sovereign, independent status, and the U.S. Supreme Court sided with Georgia. In a later ruling in Worcester v. Georgia, the court sided with the Cherokee, but President Jackson refused to enforce the decision. Indian Removal Act. In 1830, Congress passed the Indian Removal Act. Pushed by President Jackson, the bill caused an uproar in Congress. U.S. Representative Edward Everett from Massachusetts argued, quote, 10 or 15,000 families to be rooted up and carried 1,000 miles into the wilderness. There is not such a thing in the annals of mankind. To remove them against their will, by thousands, to a distant and different country, where they must lead a new life and form other habits and encounter the perils and hardships of a wilderness. They are not barbarians. They are essentially civilized people. They are planters and farmers. They are tradespeople and mechanics. They have cornfields and orchards, looms and workshops, schools and churches and orderly institutions. End quote. But President Jackson told a Georgia congressman, build a fire under them. When it gets hot enough, they'll move. The intent of the bill was to negotiate treaties with Indian tribes by which tribes would exchange the land they were then living on for other land west of the Mississippi River. Those who wished to remain where they were would become citizens of that state. The relocation was supposed to be peaceful and voluntary, and for the few who resettled quickly, it was. The War Department attempted to protect the Indians who stayed in their homes, but white settlers didn't give up their pursuit of Indian land. The far-reaching legislation affected not only the 5 tribes in the Southeast, but also many tribes in the North and those who already called the Indian Territory home. For the next several decades, the U.S. government struggled to diplomatically remove the 5 tribes from the Southeast. Choctaw Removal. The Choctaw tribe was first encouraged to relocate to Indian Territory after the 1820 Treaty of Doak's Stand, which included an exchange of lands, funds for education, police, and moving, and a government agent. An agency was established at what is now known as Scullyville, Scully is Choctaw for money, in LaFleur County, but only a few scattered bands of Choctaw came to the area. Those who did move found white settlers on some of their land. The 1825 Choctaw Boundary Treaty helped rid the area of the settlers and established the eastern boundary of what was to become Oklahoma. Life for the Choctaw in Mississippi was becoming unbearable. State laws overwhelmingly favored whites, and the federal government would not overrule the state. Reluctantly, Choctaw leaders saw removal as the only way to survive. Choctaw chiefs Greenwood LaFleur, Moshulatub, and Nikakichi met with Secretary of War John Eaton and General John Coffey at the Dancing Rabbit Creek Council Ground, which was surrounded by camps of some 6,000 Choctaw. In the 1830 Treaty of Dancing Rabbit Creek, the Choctaw Nation ceded all its lands east of the Mississippi River and agreed to move to Indian Territory within 3 years. The United States agreed to pay the tribe education and relocation funds, as well as to provide plows, axes, hoes, blankets, spinning wheels, looms, rifles, bullet molds, and ammunition. Choctaw who stayed in Mississippi were allotted a set amount of land, and they were subject to the laws of the state. George Gaines, supervisor of the Choctaw removal, set a timetable of moving a third of the people each year from 1831 to 1833. On November 1, 1831, the people gathered along the Mississippi River at Memphis, Tennessee, and Vicksburg, Mississippi. Some 300 Choctaw took the offer from the newly created Bureau of Indian Affairs of $10 in gold, a new rifle and ammunition, food, and a guide for all who walked to the Choctaw Nation in the West. Roads became impassable after heavy rains, and Gaines arranged for steamboats to take the Choctaw up the rivers. The boats were delayed, and the delay meant rations, food, became scarce. With 2,000 Choctaw on board, the boats left Memphis and traveled 60 miles on the Arkansas River. Then the Army received new orders for the boats. The scantily clad Choctaw were unloaded in a blizzard at Arkansas Post, which didn't have enough food to feed everyone. When the steamboats became stranded in ice, wagons were used to move the Choctaw to Little Rock. A Choctaw was quoted as saying that the removal to that point had been a trail of tears and death, a quote used many more times over the next few years. The 3,000 Choctaw who left from Vicksburg also encountered serious food shortages, and many died from diseases. Of the 6,000 Choctaw, including an earlier group who left Mississippi, about 4,000 survived the brutal trip. Towns were soon established at Scullyville and on the Mountain Fork River at Eagle, later Eagletown. Other Choctaw settled in various areas in the West Nation. The 1832 removal was equally hard on the Choctaw, and a cholera epidemic took many lives. Better planning and weather made for an easier migration in 1833. By January 1, 1834, some 7,500 to 8,000 Choctaw were living in the new western lands. Creek removal. The Muscogee Creek was a confederacy of several tribes in the Georgia-Alabama area who were referred to as the Upper Creek and the Lower Creek. Chief William McIntosh, a first cousin to Georgia Governor George Troop, ceded all Low Creek land in the Treaty of Indian Springs in 1825. Angered by the treaty, tribal members killed McIntosh and other leaders they believed had betrayed them. An 1826 treaty ceded Creek lands in Georgia for land in Indian Territory. The Creek chose an area west of the Grand River and north of the Arkansas River. A group of 700, led by Chili McIntosh, son of William, began the journey. Some of the party arrived at Fort Gibson by steamboat in February 1828, while others traveling overland arrived in November. By 1830, some 3,000 Creek were living on their new land. A few wealthy Creek built comfortable log homes, but most suffered from hunger and disease and a delay in government-promised supplies. They also faced raids by Delaware and Osage, who resented the newcomers. In 1832, the Creek signed another treaty. It opened a large portion of their Alabama land to settlers, but it also protected their ownership of the remainder. land speculators cheated Many Creek out of their Alabama land, and the destitute Creek began stealing livestock and crops from settlers. In 1836, troops were sent to end the Creek War. Defeated, hungry, and miserable, almost 15,000 Creek were forcibly removed and escorted overland to the Indian Territory. Hundreds died on the journey that ended at Fort Gibson in the spring of 1837. Another 3,500 died from exposure and disease soon after arriving. Though reunited with the Creek who had relocated almost a decade earlier, the two groups remained somewhat distant for several more years. Chickasaw removal. The Chickasaw of northern Mississippi were also targeted for removal. They had been successful traders for many years, and a number of white traders had married into the Chickasaw tribe. The Chickasaw, as had other tribes, were encouraged to purchase trade goods beyond their ability to pay for them, in the hope that they would have to cede their lands to clear their debt. An 1818 treaty drastically reduced their territory in Mississippi, and the state legislature overrode the Chickasaw government. The Chickasaw chiefs knew that removal was inevitable if their tribe was to survive. In the 1832 treaty at Pontotoc Creek, the Chickasaw agreed to sell their lands east of the Mississippi River. Each family could stay on an allotment, a specified portion as of land, until suitable homes in the West were found. By 1836, the Chickasaw had still not found suitable land on which to relocate. A meeting was held in 1837 between the Chickasaw and the Choctaw at Doakesville near Fort Towson. In the resulting treaty, the Chickasaw agreed to relocate to a district within the Choctaw Nation for $530,000. The Chickasaw removal, aided by their location and good tribal management, probably was the smoothest among the five tribes. Some Chickasaw traveled by wagon and others by steamboat to Fort Coffee on the Arkansas River or Fort Towson on the Red River. For the most part, the Chickasaw were able to move their personal possessions, slaves, and livestock with them. But they too faced hardships. Some died from cholera, and many suffered from spoiled rations. About 5,000 Chickasaw had moved to Indian Territory by 1838. Cherokee removal. In the early 1830s, there were some 15,000 Cherokee, including several of mixed blood, living in Georgia. Many Cherokee had embraced the white lifestyle, and they were prospering. Their capital, New Akota, was a bustling town. They had adopted a written constitution in 1827. They built roads and established trade relations. Their children attended Eastern colleges. However, in 1828, Georgia claimed the rights to all Indian land within its borders and refused to recognize the sovereignty of the Cherokee Nation. The Cherokee appealed to the United States Supreme Court but lost. Georgia also indicted Samuel Worcester, Elijah Butler, and other missionaries for work with the Cherokee without a state license, which was an attempt to stop them from helping the Cherokee resist removal. The case of Worcester versus Georgia was appealed to the Supreme Court in 1832, and the Georgia law was declared invalid. However, President Jackson ignored the court's ruling, saying, quote, "Chief Justice John Marshall has rendered his decision, now let him enforce it," end quote. The discovery of gold in Georgia fueled the frenzy for land. Georgia took over the land of many Cherokee and offered it in a lottery, a contest whose winner is chosen by a drawing, to white settlers. The state militia destroyed the Cherokee Phoenix printing press. The continued harassment led one group of Cherokee, headed by Major Ridge, John Ridge, Elias Boutineau, and Stan Waddy, to view removal as the best way to survive. Chief John Ross and a majority of Cherokee vehemently, intensely opposed removal and said the Ridge group didn't have the power to represent the tribe. In spite of the opposition, Ridge and others signed the Treaty of Nuakota in 1835. The Cherokee received $5 million for their eastern lands, and they were to relocate to the western Cherokee land in Indian Territory within 2 years. Ridge and about 2,000 followers soon relocated, but Ross and the others refused to recognize the treaty. In 1838, some 7,000 U.S. troops were ordered to round up the remaining Cherokee and place them in stockades, enclosures made of posts and stakes. A few Cherokee escaped the surprise confinement and fled, but the thousands who didn't were forcibly removed the 800 miles to Indian Territory. The Cherokee Council petitioned the Army to let them supervise the move of the Cherokee and their slaves beginning in late fall. Groups of about 1,000 traveled on foot along various routes to Indian Territory, enduring bad roads, storms, blizzards, sickness, and sorrow. An estimated 4,000 Cherokee died before reaching the new land in early spring. In June 1839, the Western Cherokee, including Ridge, and Eastern Cherokee held separate council meetings. Feelings about the new Ekota Treaty were still fresh, and 3 days after the council, Major Ridge, John Ridge, and Elias Boudinot were assassinated. Stan Waddy escaped being killed. In July, the Eastern and Western Cherokee adopted an Act of Union and became one body as the Cherokee Nation. They adopted a constitution in September, and it was approved in June 1840. Seminole removal. The Seminole, including Seminole, Creek, and Miccosukee Indians, were the last of the five tribes forced into Indian Territory. They had resisted Spanish attempts to conquer them, as well as British and American efforts to take their Florida lands. Freedom-seeking slaves often found protection and refuge in the Seminole land, which greatly angered slave owners. The Seminole reacted by raiding Georgia and Alabama settlements. From 1817 to 1818, General Andrew Jackson waged war against the tribe in the First Seminole War. One result of that war was that Spain ceded East Florida to the United States in 1819. The 1823 Treaty of Moultrie Creek provided that the tribe move to swampland in central Florida, but raids by both Indians and whites continued. The 1832 Treaty of Payne's Landing called for the Seminole to move to Indian Territory when suitable land was found, or within 3 years. According to the terms of the Treaty of Fort Gibson, the Seminole agreed to move onto Creek land in Indian Territory. Some Seminole peacefully left Florida beginning in 1836, but a group led by Osceola fiercely resisted. From 1835 to 1842, U.S. troops fought, tracked down, and captured 3,000 Indians in the Second Seminole War. Another 500 eluded capture. This war was perhaps the most expensive war waged by the government against the American Indians. The war cost more than $20 million and 1,500 U.S. soldiers were killed. Many others were injured. The weak, sick, hungry, and impoverished Seminole, plus runaway slaves who fought with them, were forced onto steamboats that carried them to New Orleans and then up the Mississippi. They were then sent overland to Fort Gibson and to the Creek lands. As with the other Indian removals, many Seminole died on the long journey. Other removals. The Seneca tribe of Sandusky agreed to an 1831 treaty and ceded their Ohio land. When they reached their new land in Indian Territory, they found that it overlapped Cherokee land. Another Seneca band, mixed with Shawnee, also found its new land was within the Cherokee Nation. A new treaty clarified Seneca land in northeastern Oklahoma. A large band of Kickapoo settled in Texas, but they removed to the Choctaw Nation in Indian Territory in 1839. A band established a village on Wild Horse Creek, present-day Garvin County, until 1850, when they moved to Mexico. Fort Arbuckle was established at the site of their former village in 1851. Many other tribes or bands of tribes also relocated to Indian Territory in the first half of the 19th century. The Yuchi of the northeastern United States came with the Creek in the 1830s. The Cayuga relocated from the shores of Cayuga Lake in New York, with one band moving in 1832 and another in 1881. The Cayuga joined remnants of other Iroquoian tribes such as the Erie, Conestoga, Oneida, Onondaga, and Mohawk in their early move to Indian Territory. The Stokes Commission. Soon after the Indian Removal Act was passed, it became apparent that some sort of commission was needed in Indian Territory to help Indians adjust and work out problems. In fact, the Creek, who had relocated to Indian Territory, requested the commission. President Jackson appointed Monfort Stokes of North Carolina to chair the Federal Indian Commission in 1832. Joining Stokes were John Schermerhorn of New York and Henry Ellsworth of Connecticut. The commission members worked closely with Colonel A.P. Chouteau, whom the Indians trusted. Although in his 70s, Stokes proved to be a tireless warrior for the Indians. Conflicting boundaries were resolved, and western and eastern tribes were harmoniously brought together. He argued against and won moving troops from Fort Gibson to Fort Smith. His concern for the Indians had an impact on later laws. Rather than return to his home state, Stokes remained with the people and land that he came to cherish. He died in Indian Territory in 1842. Traveling with the commission to Indian Territory in 1832 were the writer Washington Irving and Europeans Charles Latrobe and Count Albert Alexandre de Portals. Irving described his observations in A Tour on the Prairies in 1835, the same year Latrobe wrote The Rambler in North America. Irving described the majestic trees along the rivers, quote, "Lofty trees, glancing rays of the sun shone through the transparent leaves, reminded of the effect of sunshine among the stained windows and clustering columns of a Gothic cathedral, the wind, supplies, the deep breathings of the organ, grass so tall that the horses disappeared into it," end quote. In a few short years, the Indian Territory's population had soared to some 70,000 people. Each group in the new land found they had to adapt to their new surroundings quickly to survive and persevere, continue in spite of difficulty. They would prove equal to the task. It's your turn. Number 1. When was the Indian Removal Act passed by Congress? Number 2. Which southeastern tribe was the first to be moved west? Number 3. In what year were the Cherokee removed? Number 4. Who was Osceola? The following is a summary of Chapter 5. President Thomas Jefferson wanted to tie the Indian nations to the United States with treaties to help assure security for the new country and to gain land and trade. Several states and territories were carved from the Louisiana Purchase. Slavery became an issue in the new settlements west of the Mississippi. Many tribes of the Great Plains occupied the land designated as Indian Territory. The federal government began pushing the southeastern Indians to move to Indian Territory onto land already occupied by the Plains tribes. Hostilities developed between the Osage and Western Cherokee tribes when the latter settled on land in Arkansas. New military posts were built to protect and control the Indians. In 1828, the Western Cherokee agreed to exchange their land in Arkansas for land in Indian Territory formerly occupied by the Osage. Andrew Jackson became the leader in the efforts to relocate the southeastern Indian tribes to the west. the Indian Removal Act of 1830 brought about drastic changes to the Choctaw, Creek, Chickasaw, Cherokee, and Seminole tribes of the Southeast. All the Southeastern tribes suffered from disease, spoiled rations, and bad weather during the forced removals. A Choctaw chief was quoted in the Arkansas Gazette as saying the Choctaw removal had been, quote, a trail of tears and death, end quote. Other tribes were forced to cede their homelands to the federal government as a result of the Indian Removal Act.